Wildfires can have major effects on forest ecosystems. They can alter the soil and affect plant and animal species. In Oregon, scientists have found that the blackened remains of a 2013 wildfire are a fantastic laboratory to study insects not often associated with forests, bees. Jess Burns from EarthFix reports.
About 100 yards down a steep, shrubby slope, there's a low post supporting a green and blue plastic jug.
This is a blue vein trap.
Field technician Sydney Watkins can't see the natural ultraviolet light reflecting off the funnel-shaped mouth of the trap, but bees can.
The bees really like the UV. It attracts them. So that's why they're colored that way. And we can look inside and see if we got anything.
She peers through the narrow opening.
Oh my gosh. There's so much in here. Baby halictids.
She's talking about the dozens of tiny bees trapped inside, most of them dead. Watkins pulls off the lid.
Pop this off carefully, because a lot of times, some of our sites, there's a lot of bees in here, and you have to be really careful that they don't fly out, because, you know, that's the whole reason we're out here.
And shakes the bees into a labeled Ziploc.
Nice and safe.
The bees will be taken back to a lab at Oregon State University, where they'll be counted and identified. Researcher Sarah Galbraith's team is collecting bees at dozens of sites in the scar of the Douglas Complex fire. Some of the spots burned lightly. And in others, all the trees were reduced to sticks and then salvage logged.
In the moderate, high, and high fire severity categories, there's pretty low canopy cover, so you get more flowering plants that come in.
In these places where more than 50% of the canopy burned, it's also warmer, and there's potentially more bare soil, giving bees easier access to underground burrows.
We're finding that with increased disturbance in our sites, so increased fire severity, we're finding higher abundance of bees, and we also get more bee species.
Jim Rivers of the OSU Forest Animal Ecology Lab says this kind of baseline information about native bees is exactly what we need.
And so if we want to understand how pollinators are changing through time, how they're responding to different management action or climate change or anything else across a time scale, we really need to have a starting point, and we don't have that right now.
All of this research will ultimately be used by land managers like Bruce Holland of the Bureau of Land Management.
I use science created by people smarter than me with much more experience to try and respond to regulatory and legal requirements that BLM has.
These requirements include making sure the agency doesn't do anything that drives sensitive species to extinction. Things like clear cuts, salvage logging, invasive species removal, fire treatments, herbicide use.
We may get it right for yellow jackets and bald-faced hornets and naturalized European honeybees, but there's a whole lot out there that we could probably learn from.
Bees pollinate about 90% of our native plants, but they're thought to be in decline. So the severe wildfire we're seeing more and more across the United States may be just the thing that allows these pollinators to thrive. And study lead Sarah Galbraith is beginning to think about another possibility that hits even closer to home, that there's a critical link between forests and farmland.
So by protecting our pollinators in the forests, we are potentially protecting our food security now and into the future.
But before that connection can be fully explored, researchers will need to learn more about how the bees use our forests. For Here and Now, I'm Jess Burns.